Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Hallelujah. Are you blessed this morning? Are you blessed to be alive? Are you grateful that God loves you and that God's presence is in your life? Hallelujah. Regardless of what the enemy thinks, God is not going to change his mind about you. Hallelujah. And that is a very profound truth you should know, you know, and have somewhere locked up in your spirit. Let it be the foundation of how everything, you know, proceeds or stems from your being. That God's love is sure and God's love is not going to change. Every time God blesses you, it's because he loves you. Every time God helps you, it's because he loves you. You will always have challenges in life, but the ability to gain God's help, in spite of man, is the evidence you need, the proof that you are not forgotten. Let me preach to your neighbor, you are not forgotten. Now let me preach with faith and say you are not forgotten. Now prophesy, you are not forgotten, my brother. Hallelujah. When we come to church like this, we should prophesy, we should bless everybody and wish them well. Because you don't know the devils you are going to fight in the week. Hallelujah. The Bible says it was the enemy that came by night. When the sower sold in the morning, he didn't know the enemy would come by night, but he came. But God always has a final joker. Hallelujah. Your life should be one of testimonies, which means there will be battles. Okay? So, but at the root of this is the love of God. Hallelujah. So we continue our series, the Love Series, Part 7. Amen. This morning, we'll continue in that series. Please go to verse 7 of Ecclesiastes 11. The scripture says, light is sweet. The scriptures uses, everywhere you find light, most of the times it means, and am I very clear at the back? Am I very clear? Where you see light in scriptures, it refers to knowledge. And when you see darkness, it refers to ignorance. That means you don't know something. So God is saying here that knowledge is sweet. When you know something, it empowers you. You know how to go into the market and make your money. Others may come in 6 a.m., but the market begins to move at 8 a.m. So you still have 2 hours to sleep. Understanding, knowledge is sweet. He said it is a pleasant thing, give me King James, for the eyes to see the sun. So these testaments, these doctrines that I'm sharing with you, they are the things that pertain to God's realm. You want to have heaven on earth, you've got to pay attention to these things. What I'm sharing with you is not a motivational speech. It's not an idea. It's not a suggestion. It is the law of heaven. Hallelujah. This is how heaven works. This is how heaven works. This is the difference between why some prayers are answered and why some prayers are not answered. Knowledge. Say, light is sweet. Light is sweet. It's not light is sweet. It's light is sweet. There's an emphasis. There's a discovery. There's a revelation. Say, wow, I didn't know this before. When you understand what love can do in your life, the love of God, oh my, it liberates you. You don't love because somebody loved you. You love because that's who you are. Say, from today, I'm not going to be nice to anybody again. You're a selfish person. I'm not talking about you. I'm not talking about you loving someone because the person was nice to you. No. I'm saying because the lion will not eat grass. It's his nature. It has nothing to do with what is going on in the jungle. It is your nature to be like this. Somebody said, when I pray that against all my enemies, I don't have anybody in my mind. But I asked somebody that came from my state. I said, sincerely, you don't have anybody on your mind. Sincerely. Eh? When you prayed against your father's house, there was nobody on your mind. No, I'm not judging you. I'm just asking. Like, somebody from my village, the woman believes that. Meanwhile, the person you are talking about is also a deacon in his church. So, question, Who is God of light? Come on, say light is sweet. Go for light. Go for knowledge. It will liberate you. It will make your life easy. It will make it easy for you to give. Cannot be a lover if you don't give. Now, I want to show you something that is very, very powerful. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. I want you to look at this scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. Say, but as it is written. Now, the context here is that when something is documented, or in the English, in the UK, we have something that we call the written and unwritten laws. In the UK, they have mostly unwritten laws. So those are laws that are through oral speech or through experiences. But most countries document their laws, which means that even if the king says something, until it is written, it has no local standing. It's not legal. It's not binding. So here, the Spirit of God is saying, as it is written. That means this is a legal framework. This is something you need to understand. That this is not hearsay. This is not how I feel. This is not how I wish. It has been written. For God to permit this thing to be documented, it has been concluded, it has been agreed. So you need to look at the places where it was written so that you can understand those things that will never shake. Those things whose foundation cannot be uprooted. Those things that pertain to your life that God has said and documented. In fact, the scripture says that our names are written upon the palms of God's hands. God doesn't just, he's not keeping that name in his mind. He writes every time he lifts his hand, he sees your name. Just your name. There's no mixture. He doesn't mix this tinuke with another. Your name is your name. He writes it in a way that he doesn't mix it up. Because for something to become legal, it has to be documented. When Jesus was being tempted, doing his fasting, he responded with, it is written. So you must find that which is written for you to obtain that which has been promised. If you do not find that which has been written, you may struggle and may be praying for something for which heaven has not made provision. Yeah. That's why we tell people, when you are praying for your healing, look for healing scriptures. If you are praying or seeking the face of God for prosperity, go and find out what the word of God says about prosperity. Then you may even find out that it's not a prayer subject. Hello, are you still here? I said the subject of prosperity is not really a prayer matter. It's knowledge. You know what to do, you do it, and you prosper. Simple. He said, but it is written. What is that which has been written? Said the eye has not seen. Now you look at that word, the eye. It didn't say eyes. Said eye. And that is very significant. And I need you to give me your attention, because I won't be cracking joke today. Say amen. Amen. Jesus was speaking to us and he said, if your eye be single, it shall be what? Flooded with light. Truly light is sweet, and it's a good thing for the eyes to behold the sun. If your eye be single, that means that if you are focused, if you are not distracted, once your attention has been locked onto something, it triggers a law in the spirit realm. That is why a man can see a woman and then all of a sudden it looks like no other woman exists. Because somehow you are looking at her, you cannot imagine that there's anybody or anyone more beautiful. At least you get married. Then you now realize that the beautiful ones are not yet born. Okay? So if you marry for beauty, you will go through a lot of shock, heart palpitations, shock waves. You will die, resurrect, because sometimes you wake up, you look beautiful. Some other time, you look at the mirror, you don't like what you see. Who knows what I'm talking about? It's just like, but it is what it is. Sometimes you look at your bank account as a guy, you feel wealthy. You look at it some other time, you ask yourself, how did you get here? Because now there are a lot of kobos in your account. More kobos than naira. You know, you're just like, ah. Your current balance is 29 kobo. You know, you're just like, wow. Wow. You will not be there. So here, God is committing here to those whose eye has become what? Single. He said the eye, not the eyes. The eye there speaks of a focused life. A man who is not having a plan A and a plan B. He's looking at a man who has heard God and is putting all his resources into that which God has said. Now, this may be something you can shout amen to, but it's not what everybody can do. Because most people expect God to be slow. Most people expect God to fail. Most people have claimed to hear God on so many things that wasn't God. And it's okay to make mistakes. But you may find yourself in that space and in that terrain where you just find that, yes, this is what I think God said to me, but I need to do this one in case. Just in case. Peradventure. God is slow. And God says, look, the context of this scripture is for those whose eyes are single. Focus. Those who are only seeing one thing. Those whose eyes are only crafted for the divine. Those whose focus, their attention, is only rested on the presence and the glory of God. If your eye be single, it shall be flooded with revelation. Light! Revelation! Oh, pastor, I've been praying. I was going to say, check your focus. How many things do you have on your plate? What has the Lord said to you? What are you doing with what He has said to you? If your eye be single, He said, the eye has not seen, neither has the ear heard, neither has it entered into what? The heart of man. The human, what it's saying here is that the human mind has not even conceived what God is planning. Sometimes you think you have everything arranged. You are planning. Oh, by this time next month, we are going to expand. By this time next year, we are going to do this. And God is saying, my own plans for you. Your mind has not thought about it. So, it makes business sense to wait to find where the direction of heaven is. The problem again in this matter is that a lot of us are not patient and we are not disciplined to wait for that which is written. Because Jesus was in the temple, He kept going to the temple from the age of 12 up till He was 30 before He found where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is now upon me. But He had been going to the temple since age 12. Come on, say patience. Discipline. Yeah. There are things that pertain to God that can never be assessed by mortal men who do not have the love of God in them. Look at this scripture again. He said, the eye has not seen, nor the ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man. The things which God has what? Who did the preparation? Was it your planning? Was it something you saved up for? He said, there are certain things in God's heart that He has prepared for you. And who were the people He prepared for? Excuse me, He didn't prepare for everybody. He said he didn't prepare for those He loves. He prepares for those who love Him. Are you still here? You see, when we started this series, we started on the premise of the fact that God loves us. That gives us certain things. But you want to get the best of God, it's your love for God. Yeah. Are you still here? He said, it has not entered into the mind, the heart of man, the things, plural, not just one, the different aspects and faces of your life. The next thing you need to do, God has gone ahead of you to prepare a place. Jesus said to us in the book of John, he said, for I am going to prepare a place for you so that I can come back and bring you into the place that I am, so that where I am, you can be. So that when you are in the season of your life where you need to be married, I will be there and you will be there. When you need to get into that next phase of your career, I will only be in the place where I have brought you into, so that in that phase, you will not only be fulfilling my mandate, you will be experiencing God. Part of the struggles we have experienced today that many of us are going through is that we find ourselves in places and in seasons that God has no idea about. No business. We rush into that phase. We rush into many seasons prematurely, and then we start praying, Father, we need your presence. Father, we need your glory. Say, I didn't bring you here. This may be another Agai. This may be another Ishmael. Abraham, you want Isaac? Be patient. Again, this does not speak to the love of God for us. It speaks to our love for him. One other thing I want you to consider here is that the power of sight, the prophetic anointing, the ability to see in the spirit realm is only given to those who love the Lord with all their lives. Yeah, you can pray. You can fast. Yes, those things are good. But you want to begin to see at the realm of God's throne. You want to begin to see beyond what human eyes can see. The Bible says the eye has not seen. That means for the eye to see, you have to read this verse from the ground up. That if my heart is committed to the love of God, then God will prepare certain things for me. Then my ears will be able to hear. And then my eyes will be able to see. Come on, are you here now? Now, I need to stay with me. Because, as simple as it sounds, it's not as easy as that. The power to see accurately and to discern. The greatest strength of a prophet is his love life for God. Yeah. Not his prayer life. Because sometimes you may even be too tired to pray. I can tell where you are when I listen to the songs you sing. Yeah. When you fall in love, why do you go online to look for love songs? You go looking for dumb women. You begin to imagine your next meeting with her, you know, later in the day, and you are listening to some of these songs, like, just to have that feeling like you are in love. You don't read the book of Psalms when you are in love. You read songs of Solomon. Amen. You don't read Hebrews, and without holiness no man shall see the Lord. No, you read other things. The power and the ability to focus on one object draws the power of that thing to you. The same reason why you find certain people, while working in the bank, then you find that some of your colleagues are beginning to put in for their ICAN, ACCA, Masters in Finance, MBA. You now find that, maybe I should do the same. Then tomorrow you find yourself in a phase where all your friends are secretly applying to Canada. Secretly. Because now nobody talks about it anymore. Until it's just a week before they leave. Say, say you are wicked though. Say, they said we should not tell anybody about it. Sharp guy. Say, we've just been praying. God said we should be quiet about it. It's a lie. In case it doesn't work, so you just humble yourself and go back to work, you know. The power of divine sight, the wisdom of God, is higher than all those sharp moves. God is saying, if you want to see the spirit realm, read this verse invertedly. That if I prepare my heart in the love of God, if I give myself to the love of God, then God will prepare certain things that pertain to me. And then my ears will perceive them, my eyes will see them, and I will get them. So the subject of God's love and your ability to respond to Him is a serious matter. This can be the reason why somebody can be in the face for 10 years. And you will think God has abandoned you. But all you have to do is pick this book and read it, and you'll find this here. Come on, say, my eyes are open. To grow in the prophetic, we must come into the realm of God's love. That means we live in the realm of God's love. The realm where God is the object, the subject, the beginning, the end of that reality. Where we, our prayer life is now motivated more by our desire to be with Him more than any other request that we may have. Where every time your ministry, your decision to serve Him is an offshoot of your love for Him. Your decision to marry a person or to go into a business is because you know that the Lord is the senior partner of that business. Your decision not to sin, it's no more, oh, so that I won't go to hell. No, you are being motivated by your relationship. You don't want to endanger what you have with Him. It's not because you can't do it. Nobody will know. At least until we get the result. Nobody will know. And there are WhatsApp and Facebook groups now for people like that. You know, you encourage yourself because you are in the same category. Listen to me. Whatever you focus on, you withdraw the power of it. If you join a WhatsApp group, or a Facebook group, or an Instagram group, where people keep talking about their husbands that are cheating, and then you come and say, ah, but my husband is not like this, so they'll say, see you. Your husband is a very smart, what's his name? Say James. He's a smart man. Then they'll give you the names of people that anybody bearing this name, watch them. You hear Femi? Sometimes they say Benga. Sometimes I don't. We are still debating it, but they say Benga. You hear James. You hear John. You hear Michael. You hear Hayo. So when you while you are there saying, ah, my husband does not cheat on me, then people will be sharing their testimonies. Then you now like, hey, see, let me tell you, that thing you are looking for, you will find it. The moment you put yourself in an environment that breeds certain realities, you will start seeing it. That is why the scripture says, if your eye be single. So God wants us to take our focus, put it on Him, so that the only thing we are drawing from His throne is His presence. It's His love. That's why a minister can come to the altar and say, Father, we thank you. And you just feel there's a sense of God's presence everywhere. You can go to other churches, and the only time you feel an activity is when they are beating the drums, and there's so much noise, and there's no still small voice, there's no stillness in the atmosphere, there's no sense of God is here. It's just the noise and the jamboree and the importation of satanic worship into the pulpit and dance steps and we just confuse being happy that God with the fact that God is there. God is not in happy places. He's in joyful places. Or you may be happy for the wrong reason. If you get an alert now, you shout hallelujah. But you are shouting hallelujah for another reason. It's not for the worship of God. Yeah. I was watching a film. The woman was being tormented by a demon. It's a Korean film. So she started singing. Glory. She said, demon, go. The demon was refusing. She said, demon, go. So I will sing, go. They started singing, glory, glory, hallelujah. The demon started laughing. the demon didn't see that coming. It's like shouting Jesus' name. She couldn't even remember shouting. She started singing, glory. She said, Christian. She said, glory, glory, hallelujah. The demon said, I'm still here. This is not how to cast out the demon. Because you didn't go to church with your notes. So you didn't write anything. Light is sweet too. When you have the knowledge of certain things, you won't join the multitude to do evil. Because people may be going in the direction, but they are going the wrong way. The power of focus. And let me tell you, even for those of us who operate as prophets, this is how we prophesy. No prophet will tell you this secret because they don't want you to know their secret. But I can tell you because it doesn't matter. And any sincere prophet will tell you this thing. Most of them operate like, if I ask my brother Adams to stand up now, and I just keep looking at him, I'll start knowing things. The moment I focus my eyes on him, I will start knowing things about him. It's a prophetic tool. It's a code. We call it prophetic code. It's called focus. You just focus on the person. The moment I focus on him, my gifts move into operation. Since I started teaching on love series, I've not really prophesied so much, okay? But that's because I wanted it that way. I chose because it's not prophecy now. I may enter the second side and if I just open up that river and I'll just come into it. Bam. Your focus was a gift. Your ability to focus was a gift given to you by God to draw energy, to draw power. If somewhere in your mind, all you see is that you are going to be struggling, you will be drawing negative energy around you and you will not be able to see what God is saying. Even when somebody comes to you and say, go and try this thing, you will hear it, but it will not enter your heart. Come and say, focus. Let your eye be single. So we must come into the level where we develop sanctified seeing and sanctified hearing. Protect your ear gates. Because the things that God will reveal to you about your life, He will bring them to your eyes and to your ears. So when you want to grow in the love of God, go and look for songs. When after you've gotten the revelation, go and look for songs. And I can assure you, most of those songs, they are not noisy songs. Those kind of songs you can. Oh my God, you can steward them. Like the song that Star was singing, you can steward them and the atmosphere keeps building and keeps building. Even if there was no keyboard, it would have produced the same result. Sanctified sin. It is a decision, just like you choose to love somebody. It is your decision now to make God the center of your reality, such that you only draw energy from that which is coming from the throne. Say, because eyes have not seen, and the ear has not heard. That means there are certain things within God's reality that can only be revealed when my eyes become locked into His person, and my ears are only tuned in to hear only one voice. Every other voice is an idea. God's voice is a command. You just lock it in. You lock it to that TV station. You are there. Out of this posture, you now begin to develop certain consecrations that are not necessarily sin or iniquity, but they have now become your reality because of the way you have postured yourself with God, the way you have stood. Yeah, he said, the Lord before whom I am standing. He was standing there, even when Ahab was there. He wasn't seeing Ahab, he was seeing God. He said, the Lord before whom I stand. You want to be very powerful spiritually, this is the key. But you can't stand before God for 1 hour and you are just singing, your Lord, your promise, I believe. You can't just stand there and be worshiping just for 1 hour, 2 hours. You are not trying to meet a praying quota so that you could come and tell your friends that, God is faithful. Just point your finger at it. Say, God is faithful. Say, last night, while I was waiting on the Lord, by the fifth hour of my prayer, the heavens open. Those things are good. But could you also be honest enough to tell us that it was not only rakataba jakataba? Inside that 5 hours, there could be a moment of stillness. You are not talking. You are quiet. In fact, inside that 5 hours, you could have 30 minutes of sleep. Yeah. If you are here and you prayed at night and you have never slept before, raise your hand. You see, we've got to be sincere so that we don't destroy people's faith. People listen to us, but they how they interpret what we say is subject to them. So we've got to be honest. There are people that pray intensely at night, then they doze off for 20 minutes. In that 20 minutes doze, they will have revelations. They will have prophetic dreams. So, am I to say that's not part of the prayer? The issue is not whether you prayed 5 hours or 7 hours. The issue is that where actually is your heart? Are you a visitor to God's presence or do you live there? Did you hear what I just said? Don't be a visitor. And it's a decision. It's not like, oh, God will drag you and say, stay here. No. Because the moment you make up your mind and say, from today, I will pursue God, I will follow God, then the kind of battles you'll be facing will be battles to take you away from that decision. In the moment you say, okay, 12 p.m. in the afternoon, I'm going to start praying, or we're going to pray, join the mixer and begin to pray, that's when your customer will call you. Okay, where are you? That thing we discussed 2 weeks ago, we want it now. 2.2 million naira. Wow. Can you give me 30 minutes? No. The customer that wants to pay is here. No. Okay, I'm coming. You rush there and pick up the money. Beside your shop was another neighbor who is a Muslim. At the 2 p.m. prayers, he leaves the money at the shop, goes for his prayers. If you talk to him from that time till when, he will not answer you. So when you are asking God to understand your situation, then God is saying, look at your neighbor. For an idol, look at what he's willing to do. A man who has no heart for God cannot follow God. A man without the heart for God cannot even serve God. He will complain. He will complain. Because Lord said, move to Damaturu. He has a problem. All his mates are moving to Lagos. Move to Togo. He said, all my mates are going to Canada. How does that even... Why is that God's business? That people are going to Canada? Well, it doesn't mean anything. But for you, it's something. Because your heart is not yet with him. And you see God as a killjoy. People see God as a killjoy. He always goes for... He's always interested in things that nobody likes. This is the same reason why God cannot tell some people who their husband is, because they will reject the person. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, it's too short. Oh, it's too tall. He's a civil servant. He's a corporate servant. People just... Look, let me tell you. However you want to live your life, it's your business. But 100 years from now, none of us will be here. So... keep wasting time. There's this guy, Mozart. This musician, Mozart. There's even this one that wears long hair. I forgot his name. I used to listen to him when I was in Ife. Well, I'll remember his name, but he's not a Christian, so it doesn't matter. The guy worships the earth. So anytime he plays his music, he imagines nature. And you feel the energy of his songs. Very powerful. When I was studying Ife, if I get distracted, I just put on his music. And he does no talking, just instrumentals. Huh? He's a guy, not that satanic person you have mentioned. Huh? Yanni. Yeah? Some of you are born again, but you know Yanni. A very powerful, instrumentalist. And he does his thing. You can take a deliberate posture towards God by organizing your environment in a particular way. If somebody is coming to your room or is coming to your house to visit you, you tell them the moment you come in, no, don't play secular music, don't do this, don't do that. These are my rules. It's my condition. You can't come here and be playing. Let me not mention their name. You can't come here and be doing. When you rent your own house, you can do what you like. There are certain decisions I made. Please remember that I said to you that the context of this scripture has nothing to do with God's love for us. It has everything to do with our own love for Him. Come on, are you here? Let's rush. You must understand that our mind is very grossly limited when it comes to discerning the mind of God. Our mind, very limited. Your mind can imagine and think about certain things only to a point, then it snaps, come back. That's why God is telling us that these things have not entered into your mind. That's not. Your minds are grossly limited when it comes to discerning the things of God. That is why most likely it will struggle. Because when God speaks, He speaks above your head. So if your heart has not settled on God's love for you, by the time God tells you, jump that ladder, jump that gutter, you panic. You panic. And then if you are married to a woman who is a realist, she will tell you, no, I don't believe that one. No. We are all serving the same God. Don't put me and my children into trouble. Marry from your dimension. Marry from your level. So you won't be having some unnecessary fracas. That's why when a man begins to love God, he begins to experience the glory of God and presence of God in a very unique way. That is what makes men withdraw from sin. Because now you want to protect that which you have secured in your journey with God. It's not a question of thou shalt not fornicate again. You have gotten to a point in your walk, then you ask yourself, I want to throw this away because of this. If she was in my position, would she throw God away from me? No. Out. You are making sanctified decisions because now you know that you have prayed and you saw God answer like this. Oh my God, there was a man in the Bible, his name was Daniel. They were going to cut off all the heads of the wizard, and Daniel said, give me one night. One night. The guy was too sure that very complex cases, I need one night. Do you understand what that means? That you can spend 3 hours, 4 hours with God, and you come back with an answer. Not promissory note, with an answer. It takes a knowledge of God. It takes a revelation, an illumination, a light. And you can be there. Daniel was not born again. Whatever you focus on will be magnified around you. If you focus on the reality of this of spiritual things, you'll get it. That's why I say, if your eye be single, not eyes, if your eye. Book of James tells us, he said, let not that man think he shall receive anything from the Lord. He said, for a double-minded man is what? He's unstable in all this way. He's still speaking about the eye that is single. Like, you want to do this, you want to do that, you want to do three. I mean, a brother came to me and brought a list of 12 things. He said, he wants to start all these 12 businesses the same day. That was the day I knew I needed to stop talking to him. Stood me out in front of my house for like 2 hours talking about a vision that we up till now, none of those, this is like 2 years or 3 years, nothing has happened. Still writing motivational messages on WhatsApp, on Instagram. Yeah. Don't be fooled by those people writing motivational messages. Many of them they are advising themselves. They are not writing that thing for you. Tell me what I said. Because when he came, I gave him a clear-cut instruction. Follow this person. This person is doing business. Follow him. That's all I said to you. Listen to him. Don't say, oh, we are colleagues. Let him mentor you. That's all I said to him. Stay here. Put your head under. Let God work on you. When you left your father's house, one prophet under the tree there told you, say, you will come back to me. That was like a curse. You will go and come back. They told you. And you came and told me, and I said, if you stay here, you will not go back. Brought 12 businesses. Oh my. It's a recipe for failure. Say, if your eye be single, if you have found that one thing that is strong enough for you to focus on, if you have found it, woo! 3 years after, the problem is that even when you decide that you are smart, the day you finally realize yourself, you will still go back to class one and start. God will not say, he has tried and it's 40 years. You know what? Push him to class three. You'll just be failing in flying colors. Come on, say my eyes are single. I'm not distracted. So when many protest and say, I don't know why I'm praying, the Lord is silent, God is not speaking to me, I want to know if it's my husband, if I want to know if it's my... Check your heart. God's voice is not so hard to find. But there's a kind of dissonance. There's something cracking the channel. The network is not clear. Because when you come to God with expectation, you want God to say yes to your expectation. But what does Jeremiah tell us? What is Jeremiah Ezekiel? He said, when you come to me with idols in your heart, I will... Was it Ezekiel or Jeremiah? Jeremiah. He said, I will answer you according to the number of idols you have. So if you came saying, Lord, let it be Adam, God will say, yes, let it be Adam. God, I want Adam and I to relocate to Canada. God will say, yes. And the prophet is a man of God, but he will say, Shali Makasia, Lekataria. For the Lord said, it is Adam. Hallelujah. The Lord said that you and I are relocated. You say, hey, Pastor, it's as if you are reading my mind. My sister, idols. Idols. What God says, if you come before me, come as a blank slate. That thing you have brought, I can say yes, I can say no, and it's for your best interest. Don't tell the guy, let's see how it goes. Then you are not coming to God to say, is he the one? No, you have told him the answer. The reason why many Christians will say, let's see how it goes, is because their heart is not locked into one channel. So they are struggling, and then they say, I don't know why God is silent. I thought God said, you thought. Assumption is the lowest form of knowledge. You cannot be thoughting here. You say, I thought I heard God. Tell your neighbor, God is not silent. Change your channel. The scripture tells us in the book of Psalms chapter 23 and verse 5. Psalm 23, 5. It says, for thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Come on, say amen. You anoint my head with fresh oil. Come on, say amen. And my cup overflows. Come on, say overflow. Provision is made at the Lord's table, not yours. Hey! Provision is made where? At the Lord's table, not yours. Say, he has prepared a table where? Before me. He brings you into his banqueting hall, and his banner of ours is what? His love. Come to the table of kings. God has prepared something for you, and it's beautiful, it's great. You may not be seeing it, but it's mine that he has not changed his opinion about you. You need to come into his table. The fork, spoon, knife, plate, dessert, appetizer, first course, second course, on his bill. on his bill. But he said, he has prepared a table. Thou prepares a table before me. And he does it in the presence of. That means God prepares a table in the midst of battles. He will be lifting you up, and there will be battles around you. And he will be elevating you, and yet there are battles around you. So what the battles do for you is that they keep you on your feet. You are always battle ready. But yet you are before the Lord, and you are having a three-course meal. There's a fresh anointing, because the anointing is placed on your head because of the battles that are around you. So the anointing is not to eat. It is to prepare you for battle. But the posture for the battle is to be at his table. Is to be at his table. So you are feeding on his word. You are feeding on revelation knowledge. This is how you fight your battle. As you sit at his table with the word of God in your hand, and he is ordering your steps, he is guiding your feet, he is leading you in the path, anointing your head with fresh oil. So the anointing they placed on your head yesterday is not the same anointing today. When you are in the waters, I will be with you. When you are in the midst of the fire, it's a different anointing you need. But that is how God has crafted it. When he brings you to his table, a feast of eagles, a feast of the word. Oh, the revelations he gives you are indicators of the seasons you are in. The word he brings into your spirit are indicators of where he's about to take you. When he begins to bring you hope and encouragement, it's because many times you need to prepare for battle. You need to pray and say, oh, my daughter, I love you. I just want you to know that I will always be with you. My sister, prepare for battle. Stop posting it. There's battle coming. When God begins to assure you, get ready, because he prepares a table before you in the presence of my enemies. Your needs are not your responsibility, because provision is made at the Lord's table. Your husband, knowing who your husband is not your responsibility, because provision is made at the Lord's table. The job you are going to get, that wonderful job you are praying for, is not your responsibility. You find your way to his table and see that which the Lord has prepared. Listen to me. Anyone who does not bear the heart of the Lord cannot sit at his table. Judas could not sit. Hey, I said Judas could not sit. When they got to the Last Supper, he could not sit, because his heart was now somewhere else. And when Jesus said, one of you will betray me, Judas could not sit. He got up and left. So when you are a spiritual man, you don't fight for people to stay in your life. God might have given them quick notice. Yeah. The one on whose table you are sitting could have given them quick notice. Say, why are you hurting? Why are you doing this to me? Yes. 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 I got to do this to you. God has sent that person away since last week. But in the spirit realm, time does not count the way it counts here. So as our last week, you are still telling yourself, oh, you know, I just thank God for our friendship. You are such a wonderful person. This week, the person is on his way out. Because the heavens have declared that this one has no heart to be here. He has no heart. Say, for that prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with the anointing, with fresh oil, and my cup begins to. So he pours the oil till it overflows. So you are not supposed to live on the same anointing. You are supposed to live in the overflowing anointing. The overflowing anointing. The overflowing anointing. That means your gift is never at the same spot twice. The next project you are doing is never going to be at the same spot. The anointing overflows. There's a new level for the anointing. You are never supposed to live on the residue. There's a new anointing that is supposed to be flowing. You are not supposed to operate from a point of defense. You are supposed to be on the offensive. But if you don't know this, you are going to wonder why the devil is so powerful. The devil capitalizes on your ignorance. It was not only Judas that left. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, the scripture says, for Demas has forsaken me. Having what? Give me 2 Timothy 4:10. Look at this. For Demas, give me King James. For Demas has forsaken me. Having what? Having what? What takes men away from the Lord's table? When their affections, they begin to find affection with something on the outside. When there is someone else who seems to be loving them more than God is loving them. When there is somebody who seems to be using more wisdom than God. Why do men get distracted in relationships? Because there is this other girl somewhere that dresses well, uses her makeup. She, no stress. It's like she's always made up. But that's because we are not married. When we get married, you put away all this makeup and we need to wash clothes, we need to cook, we need to do stuff, we need to take care of children. The makeup will not be a part. In fact, when you now have a child, you stop buying makeup. Because a child is going to mess up your clothes almost throughout the day. So we just know we love ourselves and we know you are beautiful. We know it's just a phase, we know it's just a season. So if you are a distracted brother by nature and by destiny, the moment you see her, oh my. Or when they see that your picture, the one you took when you, during your book, they say, wow. She's not always like that. She's not always like that. You just like, When you marry her, you will not know. Those without a heart for God, it's not that they don't have a heart, it's that something else has taken that heart. It's the same heart with which you love God that you love things. Look at this guy. He said the reason why Demas forsook me is because he now loved this present world. There was something he saw on the outside. Hey, let me quickly go and do this one. Maybe I will gain something for me. Let me rush to that side. Maybe I will get something. The moment his love moved, so his table, his seat on that table was taken away. The same way when Judas began to discuss with Pharisees, he lost his seat at the table. So don't begin to pray and say, God, what happened to us? You happened. Don't say, God, I don't know. My prayer life is dead. Don't pray and ask God. Just bring your seat back with your heart. Just bring your seat back. Just bring your seat back. Come on, are you here? Now, my concern is for you to understand what I'm saying so that you can go back home and sort this out with God. Because it's very important. This is the reason why some people lose their anointing. This is the reason why some people never gain victory in battles. Because there is no basis for the victory. Every time God helped you, you left him and went for 2 years. Then you had another problem. Then you came back. And then they solved the problem and you left. You turned God into a spiritual herbalist. Somebody that you only seek out when you have a problem. So, I better remove his chair. Remove his chair. We don't want people like this here. Come on, say not to me. We are God seekers. God seekers. That's how God wants it. When you begin to seek God like this, there are some prayers you will not pray because before you cry unto him, he will answer you. That job you are looking for, God is more interested in it. That husband, that wife, God is more interested in it. That favor you are trusting God for, God is the one shouting for you to have it. So don't make God look like someone who is aloof. God is a present help in the time of need. So God was present in that need before you got there. He is a present help. So Mr. Twali, I just wanted to talk to you about that situation. You know, we are still having this problem. God is a present help in time of need. How you will know that your heart is not with God is that there are always these things on the outside that seem more flashy, more appealing, something that is beckoning to you and saying, come and try this one. Come and try this one. Another way you will know is that when you have a challenge, you are immediately thinking of one person to call or to go and visit. Your heart doesn't go to the altar to pray. Those are indicators that we all need to go and repent. Then bring your heart from where you left it. If you left a heart with a boy, go and collect it. If you left it with a girl, say, sorry. You collect the thing and bring it back. Put it on the table. The day you bring it, God will know. I said the day you bring it, God will know, and you will know. You will know. Hallelujah. My time is up. This is the key to constant victory in Christ. This is the constant victory in Christ. The key to constant victory when your heart is completely at his altar, at his feet. Hallelujah. In God's word, it's captured eternal principles that cannot shake, that cannot be taken away. This is why we come to church, in order to strengthen our relationship with God, not to make us more vain. Not to live here and say, Pastor, don't talk, and go blow. No, that's not why we came. Christ must be clearly written in your heart. So even when you prosper, it's for him. When you are happy, your mind is for, is to this glory, to the glory of God. When you are blessed, it's to the glory of God. It's not really about posting it on Instagram and saying, "See, I wish Mama can see me now." Who cares about your mama? You just come on, say, "I'm not a stranger." Come on, say, "I'm not a stranger to God's prayers." Rise to your feet. The hand of the Lord will rest upon your heart, leading you on this journey, bringing you into a deeper place with him, that your heart will not stray from the Lord anymore, but that grace will be given to be faithful in your walk with him, that will be found to be faithful, that God's verdict of our life, over our lives, will be faithful, that the Lord will say, "I have found David my servant, and with my holy oil have I anointed him," that will be our testimony before him. That none of us will stray from the path, but will be found in him to be complete and perfected in his love.